It's time for the one show that takes you where others won't. Out into the wilderness, past the frontiers of what you thought was possible. With your own personal guide, the Pilgrim, on the 405. Mr. Will Crist.
Welcome to Pilgrim Talks with the Pilgrim on the 405. And this 405 is just getting stretched out further and further and further. It's going all the way to Las Vegas today. We're going to be talking with some people there who are really have taken the risk and moved out in terms of crowdfunding and helping small businesses, startup businesses, especially for them, women entrepreneurs, helping them to find funding. We know that over the past couple of years, funding has been a major heartache, not only for established businesses, but also for startup business. As we are focused here on the Pilgrim Talks on how we get new jobs now. What can we do? And we're not thinking that this is going to come from some magic election that's going to all of a sudden bring in a bunch of jobs. It's not government. We know that it's going to be people like you and me who are out there taking risks, starting opportunities, creating all of the path to providing a new service, new product, or an old product, old service repurposed that's going to create new jobs. And to do that, we need funding. We know that angel investing has gone has decreased over the past couple of years, and it's at an all-time low right now. We also know that coming up January the 1st, crowdfunding with equity possibilities is going to be there. We're talking today to D.B. Fennell from Crowdfunding Live. And this is not an equity crowdfunding project, but this is a crowdfunding project that's especially there for women. And you recall, a couple of weeks ago, we interviewed Debbie Chassie, who was putting a movie together called Kill the Buddha. And take it easy. It's not about killing the Buddha. It's about her discovering what it is to be a spiritual person as she moved into her first movie about... what was it called? It was called Down the Rabbit Hole. It was called What the Bleep Do We Know? So we're bringing DB to talk a little bit about what people can do with crowdfunding to help get funding for their opportunities. So welcome, DB.
Well, hello, Will. Nice to be here.
Well, tell us a little bit about Crowdfunding Live. Now, you in particular are the marketing genius behind this, right?
I don't know about genius, but... I certainly do the marketing, and I'm going to back up just a little bit and clarify something. There are three partners in Crowdfunding Live, Aggie Cobran in Los Angeles, Deb Auger in Washington State, and I'm in Reno, Nevada, not Las Vegas.
Oh, okay.
And we're very virtual, and actually Aggie and Deb have never met face-to-face.
Oh, my goodness.
And yet we're a legal entity, LLC, and we call it the triumvirate. We meet often, and we speak every day, and we use Skype a lot. So we have this company called crowdfundinglive.com, and we are a crowdfunding platform. And you were trying to describe what we do. We call it pledge reward. So people ask, I put up a project and ask people to make a pledge to them, very much like a telethon pledge, where you could go online and click and on a project, read it. If you like it, you can give money to that project. The reward side comes in when you give a certain level of money, $15, $20, $100 on our site and Kickstarter and Indiegogo. The project host, the person looking for the money, gives a reward. And a lot of the time, that reward is their product. And so it's actually a pre-selling machine. So you can put a project up and say, I need to raise money for my widget, whatever the widget is, a watch, a phone app, a hard product of some sort, a book, a CD, music, that sort of thing. And so if you say, well, if you give me $20, I'll give you a copy of my new album, my CD. And so that's the pledge and the reward. There was a guy on Kickstarter who put up a project for his Black Pebble watch and asked for $100,000. Now, he'd already been turned down by Apple and a couple other people, manufacturers for this Black Pebble watch. And people wanted it so much. It had an MP3 player in it, a speedometer. I mean, it was like wearing your phone on your wrist. It was very cool. You could attach it to your bicycle and use it as a speedometer. He raised $10 million on Kickstarter. Now, what did he do? He knew how to market. He also had a great project, a product. And he pre-sold about 65,000 watches. I know of a group of young guys out of Emeryville, California, who had these very cool bicycles called lights for bicycles called Revo lights. And they wanted to raise about $45,000 to set up their manufacturing and move their marketing along. And they asked for about $45,000, and they raised $215,000. But the significant part of that was that they pre-sold 890 sets of their lights. I immediately thought of Burning Man because they're very cool lights. And I don't know if you know what Burning Man is, but it's a festival out here on the playa, on the desert, in the Black Rock Desert here in Nevada. It used to be in the Bay Area, and they moved it up here. And now, 1 week a year around Labor Day, 50 to 60,000 people show up, set up this festival. And anyway, they do all this stuff at night with lights.
Yeah, so, well, we moved it because of the pollution. We got rid of it in California, right?
they have a motto of leave no trace. And they're all about art. But anyway, so those guys were very successful in raising money way over their goal. Mm-hmm. But they also knew how to market.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing from you is that crowdfunding portals like Indiegogo, Crowdfunding Live, Kickstarter are places, they're tools,
platform.
What's that?
It's a platform.
It's a platform. And that the reason that platform works is because we do something in terms of marketing to raise the flag high enough, big enough, fancy enough, exciting enough that people are going to come to that platform, to our place, and then put some money in.
Correct. And so if you view it like this, we market our site. You have to market your project. People have to market their individual projects. Let me back up and give some overview of how crowdfunding came about and what it is. A couple years ago, going on 3 years now, some guys got together and started building sites. They got tired of trying to go to banks or VCs or angel investors and to fund their businesses. They were just over the whole humiliating
dog and pony show of the angel investor network,
right?
Huh?
And banks. And banks most of the time say no. It's humiliating, especially for women who don't really know how to navigate those waters because we're, frankly, women are just new to it. So 42% of the businesses, small business in this country, are owned by women, yet only 5% of the available funding goes there.
Tell me that again.
42% of the small businesses in this country are owned by women, yet they only take advantage of 5% of the available funding. Now, frankly, the statistics for bank lending to women's businesses is atrocious. And angels are naturally hesitant. Is it all their fault? No. Women just don't know how to navigate those waters. So when we started looking at crowdfunding, we said, wow, women, that's a great niche that we should fill because three women... And we can help women get funding that they need for their projects. So the crowdfunding on the equity side of things, which is angel investors, VCs, accredited investors, individuals, non-accredited investors, a lot of these people realized that there needed to be some regulation around it. So the Congress in March of this year passed the Jobs Act. In an unprecedented way, it was bipartisan. Both sides of the Congress voted to approve it, and President Obama has signed it. And now it's in the hands of the SEC and FINRA to put regulations around how crowdfunding on the equity side will work on the internet. Because when you invest in a company on the equity side, then you have to issue stock equity in your company back to that person. Now, on a pledge reward site like ours, people give money and you don't owe them anything except for the reward that you promised them, whatever that reward is, whether it's a t-shirt or your product or a hearty thank you, you have promised that you'll give them a reward, and so you're obligated to do that.
Now, Betsy is, for her movie, I thought it was very interesting, she promised for, I don't know, $25, you get the downloaded movie. For $50, you get the download movie and the DVD, a little bit more, T-shirt. And it worked up to, if you contributed $3,000, you could be in the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a screenplay of my own that I need to put a project up for. I need to pay a screenplay writer. I'm not a screenplay writer. I write science fiction. I write fiction. And so one of the rewards in my film will be that you get to have a walk-on, mm-hmm. a cameo in the movie if you give me, you know, big chunk of money. I haven't decided what that is yet. Or I'll write a character into the movie with your name. You know, so you get creative with the rewards you give. You can get really creative. Anyway, back to the Jobs Act. So the SEC and FINRA are working on the regulations now, and they're going to come out. They were supposed to be done with them in November. Nobody thinks that will happen. They'll probably be enacted second quarter of next year. That's what I'm hearing lately. But it's all speculation and nobody really knows. I mean, there's a lot of conversation amongst the people who wrote the Jobs Act. A guy named Woody Neese and Jason Bess and a bunch of guys. You know, there are a lot of people who've been doing this for quite a while. We've got another guy named Howard Leonard has a site... and has applied for a license with the SEC to do an online stock exchange.
And we interviewed Howard on this show a month
He's
ago.
He's an interesting man.
Yeah.
So God knows how long that'll take him to get that permission from the SEC or license from the SEC to do that stock exchange. But these guys are really thinking ahead. The first time I heard about crowdfunding, I got so excited. I was filled with more optimism about entrepreneurialism in this country than I had been in a very long time because, and this is what delighted me, people just said, oh, enough of the banks and angels and whatever. We're just going to go over here and do it without you. We don't really need you now in the world of social networking, online marketing, the cloud. You know, you can communicate with a huge amount of people without ever leaving your desk by simply articulating what it is you want them to hear and then broadcasting it out in as many ways as you can find. And there are lots of ways to do that. We have found some great success through Crowdfunding Live in blogging and then reposting it on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and Pinterest. Well, logos and things on Pinterest, but Flickr. And we're finding more and more people find us by Googling because our web developer, Deb Auger, partner, is a genius at getting our site to move up in SEO. And it's remarkable what she has done in a short amount of time. Our site's only been up 2 months. And we have just been so fortunate that she knows what she's doing.
Tell us your site so we can go see it.
Crowdfundinglive.com. And we also do live events. We're doing an event in Dallas in September 20th through another event called More Power Live. And you can find that site, too, and buy tickets to go to that. It's morepowerlive.com. And we're going to do the first night on Thursday, the 20th, we're going to do a three-hour event in Dallas. And our events really are just trying to educate people about what crowdfunding is and how to use it.
DB, have you guys thought about webcasting those 3 hours?
We have thought about that. We're more likely going to webcast the one in Reno.
Uh-huh.
We may do the one in Dallas. David Marlette, who's the head of the National Crowdfunding Association, will speak there, and he'll also speak here in Reno. And we have already recorded the event we did in Los Angeles June 9th of this year. And it's being edited right now, and it'll be offered with our source book on our site for purchase because we're businesswomen and we need to monetize what we do. And we wrote a source book on how to post and market a crowdfunding project. It's a kind of a step-by-step roadmap on how to post a crowdfunding project. And so, and that video is available there. We talked about marketing. We just gave an overview of the money side of the statistical money side of crowdfunding, how it came about. We talked about, we had successful Betsy Chassie and two other filmmakers, plus a young man who did crowdfunding on his own. He didn't use somebody else's platform. He used his own Facebook page, his website, his own mailing list, and he raised about $35,000 to two separate projects to fund his, to record an album, a couple albums. Two other guys had film projects, and they raised $200,000 and $300,000 for their film projects by doing crowdfunding projects.
Now, none of these are equity-based.
That's correct. None are equity-based. You don't get anything. If you give me money, I don't owe you anything other than the reward I promised.
Why do you think people are putting money into that?
You know, I've talked to, it's interesting. People in this country are fed up with the banks and with lenders. And when I've talked to a bunch of people who go out on the web and find projects they like and pledge money to them. And they'll give $20, $50, they'll give $10. They go, they search these sites and go find projects they like, and they'll give them money because they believe they're, and it's very altruistic, but they believe in helping people get their dream to come true.
You know, there's a couple of books that I've been reading. Bruce Lipton. I don't know if you know Bruce Lipton. You know Bruce?
I certainly know who he is.
Well,
yeah.
I've been listening to what he did on Sounds True recently. It's his book. It's just kind of a summary of his book. He did three call-in conversations about his book called Spontaneous Evolution. And what he's talking about is the dramatic revolution in how we're going to be relating. He talks about the end of the... You're talking about the banks, and he would include that to, you know, most what he would call dinosaur corporations coming to an end. And he said what's going to take its place is a connection between all of humanity. And
I agree with that.
That's what I hear you talking about here. In the old paradigm, I'll give you money if I'm going to get money back, compounded interest. I've got to get, you know, the old venture capitalist picture or... you know, all the VCs, I will invest in these companies expecting that in the aggregate, I will get a 10x return on the money I invest. That's not what crowdfunding is right now that's getting all of this buzz and the money being contributed. There's no 10x return on that.
No.
And in the projects that I'm talking about down here with some folks in Orange County, what we're looking at is not necessarily a 10x return on money invested, but a number of jobs that are created based upon the effort and the time invested.
Well, it's a collective energy that's happening in crowdfunding. It's a collective, and it's global. It's a collective mindset that that people come together. Very briefly, I mean, it doesn't take very long to click and put and pay with your PayPal account. It could be, you know, very rapid that you touch on that person and support what they're doing.
Well, all right. Now, I want to expand on that because my experience, I think I've participated in maybe five crowdfunding projects, Betsy being one.
Good for you.
Another fellow, I've forgotten his name now, but the first one I participated in was a fellow in Stanford just graduating. He had an idea for an iPad stand that would fit onto a wireless Apple computer keyboard. And, I mean, $25 contributed, and he wound up oversubscribing. He wanted $35, got $55. But my point is, that once I made a contribution, I was now a participant in his project.
Correct.
I put my money in and then I'm done. It's not I put my money in and then I'll come back and look from time to time. I mean, I started getting emails right away. I started getting videos from the projects about where we're progressing. And then it was reports on, well, our manufacturers messed up and they tried this and we do that and oh my gosh, we're so overscribed. Take a look at all of the boxes we're sending out here. We have to have family. It was a wonderful experience.
Yeah, and you became part of his crowd.
Yes, his tribe. I became
oh,
part of
his tribe. Oh, he calls it his tribe?
Well, it's Seth Godin's idea is what, Seth Godin's book on tribes.
I do.
Well, you three women are creating a tribe.
Betsy is creating a tribe. Everybody who hosts a project is creating a tribe. And the smart people, and what you do with your tribe, you just described. You communicate with them continually, and you bring them along with you, and they are your marketing people. You just told everybody who listens to your radio show about this company. Say the name of the company. Do you remember?
Oh, I'll find it. You talk, and I'll go get it off the shelf over.
Because
there.
That's part of the tribe. That's part of the crowd. When you then pass that along, that's what crowdfunding is. Friends and family become your crowd, and they tell. It's the 6 degrees of separation. They tell someone who tells someone who tells someone who tells someone.
Yeah.
And that's what viral marketing is about.
It's Wingstand. Wingstand. It's called Wingstand, wingstand.com. And on the box, it says, manufactured in Illinois using recycled plastic. And then it says, Wingstand was made possible by Chris B. and 1,500 other early supporters.
See, don't you just love that?
Oh, it's exciting.
It's just wonderful.
That's it. Yeah. Now, what I think, what I remember Seth Godin saying, which is very inspiring to me, is he said, your tribe is waiting for you to lead.
That's correct. That's absolutely right.
All right. He didn't say you go out there, do your stuff, and you go collect this. It's when you become the leader, your tribe, what was that? Your tribe will appear. Remember that? That used to be back then, when you are ready, your teacher will appear?
Yeah.
All right. Well, now it's when you're ready, your tribe is waiting for you.
Well, we went through a whole period of, say, 10 years, 12, 15 years of teachers, coaches, platform speakers, tons of webinars, teleseminars. Everybody was teaching us things. Well, we've learned a lot. And what we've learned is that nothing happens unless you act. I'm not a law of attraction kind of believer. I don't believe in that. And Seth touched on that, in that at some point you have to begin acting. Well, crowdfunding gives you a way to act that you don't necessarily have to get permission from anybody. You can just do it.
Yeah.
And as Mikey said, you can just do it.
Remember, what's the name of the movie with the two women in the Cadillac driving across?
Thelma and Louise.
Yes, and remember at the end, right out over the end. Now, I didn't see that as the end. I saw that as the beginning.
I saw that as... Well, that was interesting.
So you put you three women in that car, and there was a point at which you three had to drive off the canyon cliff.
You know, I say that all the time. I say, you know, I feel like I just stepped off a cliff.
Yeah.
Doing this crowdfunding project. We started doing an event, and during the process of creating the website for the event and getting speakers and doing the agenda and marketing the event and hoping that people would show up to hear us teach them about crowdfunding. Because we're evangelists for this. We love this. And Aggie and I have become quite knowledgeable, and Deb on the technical back end, quite knowledgeable about what we're doing here. But we didn't know a thing. I mean, last November was the first time I'd ever heard of crowdfunding. And when it dawned on me, I was doing happy dances. I was so excited. I still am excited. And people say that to me all the time. Gosh, you are so animated about this. And I've seen a lot of products come and go. I spent many years in the music business, have launched many big careers or been part of teams that launched big careers in the music business. Tim McGraw, Garth Brooks, Randy Travis. I've been part of all of those careers. And so I've seen a lot of product come and go. This is the one thing that has gotten my attention. And the stepping off the cliff thing was really that leap of faith. It was, well, I could do this. And there were a lot of people telling us we couldn't do that. A lot of people telling us. My brother, Aggie's husband, lots of people saying, well, you're crazy to do this. We had no funding. We had no expertise in our field, and because we realized nobody has any expertise in this field, everybody is making it up as they go. Well, so
can I share with you? Last Sunday, I had the opportunity to preach on John's Gospel. I think John 6 about feeding of the 5,000.
Ah, yeah.
Right, and so Jesus sees the 5,000 people. Well, that's not counting women and children. So there's probably 35,000, right? And we know who really brought the food was the women. But nevertheless, here we are, and Jesus looks out, and they are hungry. And he says to Philip, what do you want to do here? Well, Philip said the same thing to you that everybody else said. Said the same thing to Jesus everybody said to you. We can't do this. And not enough money.
Right.
Not enough money.
Right.
And I think that was Jesus' Thelma and Louise moment when he said, you know, Andrew brought him five little loaves and a couple of fish, and Jesus just said, tell him to sit down. Here we go. And
yeah,
he fed him. And he fed him. And what did he feed him? He fed him out of the process that was already there. Now, I'm not trying to explain how he created all of that, how that happened, but all that was already there before they sat down and before he started sharing. Something was there, wherever it came from, and that's what you guys are doing.
Exactly.
You're telling people, just tell them to get on crowdfunding, sit down, get to work, and see what happens. Just watch me.
I worked for 4 years for a woman named Laura Langmire, who is a international speaker, author, money expert. And one of the things she says that sticks with me, and she would do this to us, the marketing staff, all of the time. She would say, just say yes and figure out how.
Yeah.
And I hated hearing that. I just said, oh, no, what are you doing to us today? But it created that, it's a kind of fearlessness. It created that attitude in me with, okay, I have no idea how to do this, but we're just going to start. And, you know, we went through a merchant banker to try to get the back end, the pay system set up with a gateway for the credit card payments.
Yeah.
And at the very last minute, 3 days before, 2 days before we were going to launch, they came back and they tried to raise the fee that they were going to charge for the gateway from 2.9 to 4%. And the bank guy just assumed that I would roll over and accept that. And I said, well, okay, no, we're not going to. I told you what the terms were. And now at the last minute, you're trying to change the game. So we're not going to do that. And there's a 30-cent per transaction fee, and they wanted 35 cents. And, you know, and then in the meantime, we've been trying to get PayPal to approve us, and they kept trying to put these unreasonable caps on us.
Don't tell me you went to Square and they worked it out.
No, we built our own system. You know, but the guy called me a couple days after our launch date, which was Betsy's film, Killing Buddha, and said, well, I'm still trying to find a gateway. And I said, well, no problem. You go knock yourself out, but we already launched. And he said, he was dumbfounded. He said, what? And I said, the arrogance with which you said that just makes me want to laugh. I said, what makes you think that we are going to wait around for you? You are the reason crowdfunding started. That kind of arrogance that we can't function without you just turns me into a raging maniac. So that's what motivates me to go do this without you. Absolutely. So we're still doing it without any. Now we're looking at other platforms. We have a new fee schedule that we're going to implement any minute now. Where right now, if you put a project on our site, and you post your goal and a time limit, it's usually 30 or 60 days, and your goal is $5,000 to $50,000, whatever it is you want to raise. If you get to 60% of that goal within your 60 days, I'll use 60 days as the example there. If you get to 60%, we charge you, at 100%, we charge you 5% plus the 2.9%. A fee to process the credit cards and the 30 cents per transaction. If you get to 60%, we're going to go ahead and give you that money because we figure 60%, you could do quite a lot with that. Mm-hmm. But we're going to charge you 9%. Mm-hmm. So we're going to charge a little higher fee, but we're going to go ahead and let you have that money. You pay the fees. Now, the new system we're going to put in is 25%, 25%, 25%, 25%. The fee's a little higher. It's 7%. Same transaction fees, 2.9 plus 30 cents. But we're going to let you, if you raise 25% of the money in the first quarter of your goal, we're going to give you that money and charge you, so you have that money to go ahead. So maybe you can use that money to go pay for the marketing, mm-hmm. to reach a bigger crowd, mm-hmm. or get your packaging finished on your product, or get your manufacturer to formulate your health nutrition bar.
Yeah.
That's a whole other industry. Or, you know, something like, or pay a guy to do social networking for you, to go out and build your Twitter list.
Yeah,
or,
yeah.
you know, things like that. Or pay somebody to write blogs and post those.
All right. So Debbie, I want to take a break here, and I want to come back and want to talk a little bit more about this, because this is very exciting kind of stuff here. Can you stick around after the break?
I sure can.
We'll be right back after a message from our sponsor.
OCTalkRadio.net.
I'm Al Strauss with Sandler Training. Talk to you about rule number 38. The problem the prospect brings you is never the real problem. When people have heard this rule and thought about it a bit, if they've been in sales for more than a few months, they almost always say, well, that's obvious. I've had lots and lots of prospects that told me what they wanted, I showed them what they wanted, and they didn't buy it. So it seems that it would be obvious. The problem is, most folks don't understand it, and you get in the middle of the conversation, and here's a prospect who's interested in something, you've got the something, and you just show up. And what you really need to learn how to do is ask a bunch more questions, because frankly, in most cases, the prospect doesn't even understand what the real problem is. And so if you ask three or four more questions about what they claim they need or are looking for or want, you're going to discover that it morphs, it changes, sometimes dramatically. What they end up needing is perhaps even diametrically opposed to what they originally said they were looking for. So ask the questions, don't take the first thing they give you, dive down into the real issues, and you're going to have yourself a much better day selling to this prospect.
So, welcome back to Pilgrim Talks. We've been interviewing D.B. Fennell and talking a lot about this change in where funding is coming from, where business expertise and business motivation and excitement's coming from, and what this all means. That it, what sometimes seems to be falling apart, some people even interpret as death or ending, it's really a new birth. It's really something new happening. The human spirit is not going to come to an end and stop. And the American spirit is not going to go into despair. And we're moving forward. If you can take a look at the Olympics, we're right up there. We're right up there. Because the American spirit, the human spirit, is not going to take it lying down. And DB and her friends are right at the forefront, talking about ways of doing it, and we're talking specifically about crowdfunding. So, DB, let's talk a little bit about what somebody can do to get ready, or to what do they need to be doing to get a project up on crowdfunding.
Well, like any business, for a crowdfunding project, you have to have a clear idea of what it is you're doing, whether you have a product or an idea to start a business for a service, or you've created a hard product, whether you want to produce a film or a movie, I mean, or a record album, a CD, or a book, or whether you want to help, whether you want to start a restaurant or a food truck or whatever. You still have to have a clear business plan. And you do a business plan. It doesn't have to be elaborate, but it has to be clear. And you have to set out what it is, what your goals are, and how you're going to do that, how you're going to achieve your goals. And that is your business plan. That's your marketing plan. That's your advertising. Well, advertising I consider to be part of marketing. So, but your in that marketing plan is your media, your PR, your social networking plan, and then in your business plan is your financial plan. What are your 6 months, 2 months, 3 months, yearly, 2 year, 5 year goals? 10 goal. What's your exit plan? So you start with those basic business precepts, and then you take it into where we live now, which is in a very connected, through the internet, a very connected social environment. If you don't know how to do this, actually people know more about it than they think they do. They're scared to death of the web if they don't know how to social network, but it's not that hard. You just have to do it. My brother and I had a discussion recently about this. He's 65, a couple years older than me, and he's a very successful realtor, really knowledgeable about what he does. He owns a large real estate company here in Reno called Dixon Realty, and but he's an expert in his field. And he said, well, maybe I can get you to help me do social networking. And I said, only if you write the blogs does that work. Only if you write the things that go on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, or your own website. And he said, well, I don't have time to do that. And I said, well, in order to do this, Harvey, my brother, you would have to rethink your day. You would have to replan your schedule in that every morning you give yourself, or afternoon, or whenever it is, you give yourself a certain amount of time to talk to people through social networking. Well, crowdfunding works very much the same way. Now, older people who have not had social networking in their purview for a very long time, I mean, they never have, find it a little more difficult. I was fortunate enough to spend the 4 years, well, actually it was about 6 or 8 years, with people around me, and even before that in the music business, young people around me who just did this as a, this is the way they live. They've always done that. They've always used their phones to work through their iPads, their computer, or whatever, to talk to people. That's how they communicate. They don't use the telephone. They text, but they don't talk on the phone, which I disagree with, and I think things will change there. Skype certainly helps, because you need to see people's facial expression. But anyway, so you get back to this. And so social media is naturally a young people's medium. But that doesn't mean we all can't participate. And so I was very fortunate in learning how to communicate via social media. Now, am I an expert? Oh, heck no. But do I let that stop me? Never. I just talk to people. And I talk to people from every aspect of my life. I talk to my mother's best friend in Versailles, Kentucky. And I've known this woman since I was 2 years old. And we still communicate that way. I talk to my high school friends via Facebook every day. Somebody's posting something. There's a family website, the Wyckoff family Facebook page, and so we all communicate. So my point is that marketing a crowdfunding project is no different than communicating with your friends and family via Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, wherever you're going to communicate, or through an email. So you asked me earlier to talk about how somebody does a crowdfunding, how they get ready to do a crowdfunding project. So they do a business plan. Then you need to have, and we give you a form on our website, crowdfundinglive.com. We give you a form to fill out that allows you to fill in the fields talking about the name of your project, how much money you want to raise, the time limit you're going to do it in, and then a description of your company, a description of your product or your project, your service, whatever, a description of the rewards you'll give for the levels of pledges that people give you. You can post video, you can post photos, you can post your own bio, links to your project, links to your website. And then within our site, you can also, once you post a project, you can also begin to communicate with them through comments, through posts, through your own social media. So when I talk to people about posting a project on our site, I talk about the marketing, most always. They send us information, they inquire about doing a project with us. And we go through that, whatever information they send us, and start looking at the first question out of my mouth is, do you have a mailing list? Do you have a Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn following? How big are those lists? And how? So, and then I look at the number of the amount of money they want to raise. And so I say to them, does your mailing list have enough people in it that you could talk to that you can raise the amount of money that's your goal? And if not, who do you know that can help you? Who do you know out there that has mailing lists that can mail for you with this link that goes back to your project on this, on our site, on Crowdfunding Live? You have a unique link for your project. So how many people do you know that will mail that out, that will tweet it, that will Facebook it multiple times? Because you can't just post that up there one time and expect people to show up. It has to be a repetition of that message over and over and over again. And then you should do blogging, you should do radio interviews, you should do newspaper articles, any media that you can get. If you have a friend who writes press releases, get them to do that and then post that wherever you can. If you have a website, you know, link people to your website, and on the website, give them the link back to your project. So my point is that you have to create a bigger crowd than you have existing, and that's the point of doing a crowdfunding project, is to, it's the friends and family gone viral, on steroids. You want that, you want people to get crazy about your project and then tell everybody they know.
Well, let's go back to Seth Godin. I mean, it's your tribe.
Right.
Right. Your tribe is friends and family on steroids.
But you need to get them to get viral about it, to get mm-hmm. excited about it enough that they go tell their friends and family and widen that sphere of influence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And as you know, you know, something happens, some celebrity does some stupid thing or says some stupid tweet, and then it gets retweeted a million times because some celebrity has, you know, fallen down out of the limo because they were smashed or whatever it is, or they badmouth some other celebrity or whatever. That can go viral in an instant. Well, a crowdfunder wants that to happen. Well, how do you get that to happen? Well, you say something exciting. You do a video that just knocks people out. It's funny. It's endearing. It has pathos. It touches people's hearts. Whatever it is, gets people excited because it's a very cool product. I talked about earlier the Black Pebble watch. That went viral because the product was so cool. That's what you want. But you have to, if you put up a project, nobody will show up if you don't tell them about it. And you and you and you and you, all the yous in the world, have to talk about what you're doing. Well, if you don't put something compelling up, if you just, you know, approach it like it's a high school project for an exam that you just got to finish. Well, you're not going to succeed. But if you put your excitement into it, your joy into it, your extreme optimism and sure assuredness about what it is you're doing into it, people buy into that. They love that. I told you earlier, I know people who just go searching for projects. And if they think it's cool, they'll post to it. Because as you were talking about, there's this mentality that's changing. I think Bruce Lipton was who you were talking about. This mentality that's changing, that people are tired of other people making the decisions for them about how their life will go. And they are taking back control of their own happiness, success, communication. They're becoming involved in this world change to optimism, change to having peace and joy in their lives instead of anger and strife and bitterness and war and economic downturn and fear and all those things. And people have said, you know, that just doesn't work for me. That is not what I believe. I believe in caring about people and helping other people and encouraging people, funding them. So it's a very simple concept. To do a crowdfunding project successfully doesn't mean you do it all by yourself. It means that you get a team around you of people who know what they're doing. You get a PR person friend of yours, or you hire them to write a really great press release. And then you post that everywhere you can. You get your friends to post it. You link it on Facebook. You send it out and ask people to repost it. I'm just supporting a woman on Facebook who's speaking on her subject for an eWomen webinar radio series. And she just texted me on Facebook and asked me if I'd repost this. Well, of course I would. And at the same time, she said, okay, when I get past this, let's do lunch. That's how women communicate. We're natural networkers.
Well, do you think that what we're seeing in terms of this new way of doing it is a reemergence of a balancing of the masculine and feminine? Do you ever think in those terms?
I do. You know, that's some pretty sophisticated thinking. And I love to have those kinds of conversations with people and in my head. I tend to try to talk to people in terms that they can understand. Now, I'm also a big proponent of 2x4 marketing, which is you pound somebody between the eyes with a 2x4 repeatedly to get their attention. That's a very guerrilla marketing kind of concept. From the music business, I know that you have to do repetitive messaging. So you can have all the lofty thoughts you want, but you still have to get that message out there. It's not complicated. It's a simple message that you repeat over and over and over again until people recognize it and act on it. The radio industry knows it really well. When you launch a new record, it's not good enough that the radio station play a new record once and overnights, where nobody hears it. They got to play it in morning drive. They got to play it in noon. They got to play it in afternoon drive. They got to play it over and over and over again, so that your brain registers, has a recognition of that sound, and then connects that with the name of the artist. So it's no different with crowdfunding. You have to keep repeating that message until people recognize and understand they need to act, and you have to tell them how to act. That's what marketing is.
Well, and that is, in effect, what is going to make the difference for crowdfunding. I mean, talking to Ruth Hedges, she and her group, the goal is to have have a million people with shovel-ready, you know, with ready projects for equity funding when that becomes open. Now, she and I have talked about that several times, and it really is, I'm with you, it's the drumbeat that just keeps on going. I mean, it's Native American in its assistance. This is not, it's not rock star stuff. It's just the drumbeat of the world that keeps going to help people get beyond the kind of fears they don't have to have them, but they are the ones that are obstacles to moving forward.
Right. And, you know, all the people who are getting projects ready to post when equity crowdfunding goes live, you know, there's going to be this glut in that market for a while. One of the reasons we decided to get our pledge site up was to grandfather ourselves in case that Jobs Act, those SEC and FINRA regulations that come in, try to retroactively affect pledge reward sites, mm-hmm. or cause sites, or just straight pledge sites. We wanted to be grandfathered in, so perhaps we're in a better position then. So these equity sites really don't have that option. I think there are only one or two up there now, and they may be suspended for a while until the regulations come down. We don't know what those regulations are going to, how stringent they're going to be, how limiting they're going to be, because, you know, if the government gets involved, then it's going to get really complicated.
Well, we do know for sure that whatever the restrictions are, that marketing is going to be the key.
Absolutely. There's no question about it.
And so I'm wondering if it makes sense to, if there's a company, I had talked to a fellow a couple of weeks ago, and he wants to raise a couple of $1 million, and we got this sense that equity funding and crowdfunding is going to be maybe $1 million limit. And so he knows he's going to have to do some other things, but he was saying, well, why should I start now? Why should I get on Ruth Hedges' crowdfunding roadmap now? Why shouldn't I just wait? And it seems to me that somebody could be saying, look, I'm going to put together a crowdfunding project. I'm going to put it on something like Crowdfunding Live, and I'm going to learn how to do this. I'm going to practice what it means to market a crowdfunding project so that when the equity projects are available, I'm going to know how to do it. I'm not going to be learning how then.
Right, exactly right. Well, one of the reasons that I have aligned myself with some of these groups the organizations and associations for crowdfunding is to be part of that bigger conversation, so I educate myself. And I'm not shy about telling them that. I've said that to them. I want to know what's going on so that I can speak intelligently about it, because I spend a great deal of my time educating people about what crowdfunding is. I just need to know what's going on so that I can speak educatedly about it. I will be at that boot camp in Las Vegas. A booth there may do some panel discussions. We have our own events coming up. You can find out about those at crowdfundinglive.com. Just click on live events. And we do live events to educate people. And we bring in experts and panelists and successful crowdfunding project people to talk about how they did their projects, to talk about the legal and money aspects of it, in that you need to have a business set up. So we partnered with a company that sets up legal entities. So they set up our LLC. We are a legal entity because we move a lot of money around, so we need to be able to operate as a business. So we have a we're a Nevada corporation. We have a Nevada business license because I live here in Nevada. We have on our advisory board, we have an attorney accountant who, and there are huge tax implications even for the Pledge Reward site. I mean, make no bones, don't misunderstand. If you have a Pledge Reward site for your product and you raise $1 million and you've pre-sold 20,000 of whatever your product is, you pay tax on that money you gained. And that is an exchange of money for goods. And there will, and the IRS will certainly have some regulations coming down on taxable income for a business. So mm-hmm. you need to have your ducks in a row with mm-hmm. accounting. You need to have an attorney talk to you about your liabilities and what's possible for you. You need to have a marketing person or that you can consult with, a public relations person that you can consult with. You need a videographer, a good one, to film your video. Doing a video in your, you know, in your office, like we're doing Skype here, you need to write a script and have a professional film it for you and do it well, unless you already know how to do that. I mean, I've seen some great videos that people have done in their office. They just knew what they were doing with the video. It was a clear background. It wasn't cluttered. They knew what they were going to say. It wasn't necessarily scripted verbatim, but they had a roadmap for their video about what they were going to do. You only need a 2 or 3 minute video, and it doesn't need to tell your life story. It just needs to tell the story that you want to compel people to give you money. So you need a videographer. You need, maybe you need a bookkeeper. Maybe you need a manufacturer. But you need to get those people in your corner before you do a project. Before you launch into this, you need to know where you're going. Now, I'm a kind of make-it-up-as-you-go kind of person. But, I'm 63 years old. I have a lot of skills in my bag over here. So I can do a lot of the things that that I talk about people needing to do. If you don't know how to do it, go find somebody who does.
Yeah, so
don't let that stop you.
So when you and your two sisters, like Thelma and Louise, take off in your Cadillac across that canyon off the ledge, you're going to fly. You're not going to go crashing down.
Right. We intend to succeed.
Yeah. And because you've got the experience behind you. And I think that's what's really important. Now, when somebody goes up to Crowdfunding Live, will you help them put their project together?
You know, we give a lot of instruction. We have a source book I told you about earlier with a roadmap for putting a project together. But we give a lot of instruction. We have FAQs on our site that answer a lot of the questions about how to post a project. We have our terms and services explain in depth the processes that we go through. We have lots of information in our media and blog tabs on our site, lots of blogs talking about crowdfunding, lots of articles that we have a free white paper you can download. If you opt in, you can get this free white paper, and we give you other sites to go look at. We recommend you go look at all these other sites, look at projects, read the descriptions, and look at the videos, and look at the rewards, and then that helps you have a outline the elements of what you need to put your project together. So we encourage people to go get education first. I talked to a woman the other day who has a great project for kids' sports, and she was intimidated about the marketing. And I have another partner, we do crowdfunding marketing for people. We're just getting started too. But we do affiliate marketing and online marketing and product launches and event launches and things like that all the time. That's what my core business is. That's how I pay the bills. Excuse me. So you can hire somebody to do it for you, but it's your voice that has to come through. So you can't just say pay somebody money and have them do your project for you and expect it to have the same emotional context that you would ordinarily, I mean, that you would do if you did it yourself. In doing this, you've just got to be prepared. So we encourage people to come to our live events and network with people and talk to these experts we bring in who talk about the statistics of crowdfunding. About 50% or more of the crowdfunding projects out there fail. And most of the time, it's because they didn't do the marketing. Now, sometimes it's because nobody cares about your project. You know, people get emotionally attached and they don't step back and look at their project objectively and say to themselves, does anybody care about this but me? And if your answer is no, ask a bunch of people what they think before you do a project and get feedback. You don't live in an island. You have to get other people's information. So we recommend that people go to crowdfundinglive.com, get the white paper, look at the other projects, figure out how to do a clear message, and we encourage people to send us projects, talk to us, make an inquiry, fill out the form on our site, and then we review every project before it goes up. You're not going to go live on our site until we've reviewed it and talked to you and helped you, coached you through it.
So this whole project, this whole idea is to help people learn how to use the internet to do funding. And crowdfunding has become a wonderful way of generating interest and a platform for collecting those funds. This is very exciting.
So it is very exciting.
I really appreciate you spending the time with us. Tell us, if somebody wanted to talk more about this, what would you have them do?
Go to our site, do an inquiry. You can find me on Facebook, DEBEFENNELL. I'm on Twitter. I'm on LinkedIn. You can find me, ask a question, go to our site. You can make an inquiry there, leave a comment, contact us is that tab. And we'll get in touch with you and see what we can do to help you. We are looking for great projects. We're a brand new site. If you ask me why people would come to us and not go to Kickstarter, I'd say, well, because we're going to help you and they're not. Now, they have a lot more traffic than we do. That's true. But if you want individual help doing that, I'm not going to do it for you, but I'm going to tell you how.
Good.
I will not, you know, I don't do your marketing, but I'll tell you how.
That's good.
Yeah.
Listen, wonderful. I really appreciate you and Aggie and Howard and Ruth. You guys are really marching, leading our parade right into this wonderful new opportunity for us. I mean, it really does come back to us doing it. There's going to be fewer and fewer places for excuse making and blame, right? When we have these opportunities, it's no longer the bank's not letting me do it. There's another possibility.
Right. Well, and I choose the joyous side of success rather than the fear of failure.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being with us. So there
well,
we have
you,
it.
Thank you, Will. I appreciate it.
You bet. So here we have one of the other people out at the front of the parade leading us in this new world. In this particular case, it's called crowdfunding. All over the 405, and 405 seems to be extending between the West Coast all the way over the East Coast with so many projects and so many new ideas bubbling up and getting excitement. So we're moving not into a dead world, not into a failing world, but into new possibilities all over. And it's a wonderful experience, and we're going to continue to bring people together who are living in this new world, pointing out the new world, and inviting others to follow. So you too are invited to join us on this pilgrimage on the 405 into this new world. You can always get information for us at pilgrimonthe405.podbean.com. You can, if you have ideas for the show, you can call me at 949-355-6013, or you can email me at willchrist@willchrist.com. Follow me on Twitter. It's obvious. It's at willchrist. So we look forward to talking with you again next Wednesday. This is the Pilgrim on the 405. Make it a great day.
You've been listening to the one show that takes you where others won't. Out into the wilderness, past the frontiers of what you thought was possible, with your own personal guide, The Pilgrim on the 405.